lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast. I am your host, Mediocrities. Let's jump straight into something new. I wanted to first of all thank everyone for listening, for subscribing, for leaving reviews, for sharing the podcast on the social media apps. You're helping more and more people listen, which means more and more people are engaging with the conversation, which is the whole reason I'm even doing this show. So thanks for that. Thank you for the positive feedback. If you would like to leave any comments or suggestions or criticisms, you're welcome to reach out to me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. Or if you do use the Anchor app, you can leave a voice message for me, and I do listen to all of them. I do read all the emails. So thanks. I appreciate that. Two pieces of feedback that I'm going to address in the something new today. The first is the ums, buts, and ands. That I'm noticing, I'm wildly aware of me doing these now, but I do appreciate the feedback, and I'm working on it. Yeah, as someone who actually took classes in public speaking, I should know better. So I'm going to work on that, and so there may be some more pregnant pauses while I consciously catch myself going into bad habits. So I'm going to continue to work on that, and I do appreciate the comments. That's good stuff. That helps me become better as a speaker, but also better for conversations. So you're helping me in two ways. Thank you very much for that. The second thing is the sound quality. Let's get the vocabulary quality working. The sound quality I'm going to really work on. I've got a new microphone that I'm working with this evening as I record, and also I've made some adjustments here to Studio C to try to make things a little bit clearer. So hopefully we can get that hissing sound down. I'm going to try to edit the sound with some new software that I'm trying out. So we'll see how it goes, and I'll try to improve this for you. So thanks again for that feedback. Again, if you want to reach out to me, it's mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com, or you can use the link in the show notes and reach out to me. Thanks. Let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Now it is time to journey inside the mind of Mediocrities. It may be fun. It may be scary. It may contain wheat and soy. Join me now, will you? Inside the mind of Mediocrities.
Okay, so what is inside the mind of Mediocrities this time? You know, sometimes I just lay awake in bed and I think about stuff. And I've got a nightly practice that I go through in my head, just kind of recapping some things. I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, have you ever laid awake at night and just regret or guilt or shame over the past, and just you worry about that, you agonize over that? Just mistakes that you've made, things that you wish you could undo. Yeah, you know, you're not alone in that. That's what's on the mind of Mediocrities is just, I struggle with these things myself. And it's not, I understand it's not uncommon, but you know, that's kind of a pat thing to say. I mean, we struggle with it. It's hard, especially, you know, we're all different. We've made some different mistakes in our lives, but I don't know. Sometimes I just sit there and I just wonder, you know, what if I had chosen this differently? What if I hadn't said that? Or what if I, you know, hadn't gone down that path? What would have been different? And, you know, we can't really live in the past like that, can we? You know, we need to be able to learn from the past. I think that history shows us that if we fail to learn from the past, then we're kind of doomed to repeat it, right? That's like a famous quote. But what do you do about that? And I think that the tendency in modern times is for people to really kind of label you based on your past. You know, if there's something that you've done that kind of marks you, right? And that's how people know you. They, that's the guy that did that thing, or that's the woman that did that thing. And so we kind of have a tendency as human beings to react in a big polar opposite, right? We have a big swing in the other direction. You know, and I'm thinking about, someone that maybe struggled with alcohol in their life. And so they swing big in the other direction because maybe they weren't alcoholic. And the solution for them is to completely abstain from alcohol. Or maybe they didn't consume alcohol, but maybe they were friends or family with someone who struggled with alcoholism. And so their solution or their response to that would be to live a life free of alcohol, right? We make these big swings. And so I guess that's, I'm kind of thinking about those pendulum swings, right? We even see it in politics. 4 years, 8 years of a particular party, and the American public swings, right? They make a change. But when you look back at history, things generally kind of stay in the middle, don't they? Right? So when we're looking at just the way that we get racked sometimes with guilt, and you know, and as someone who's tried to manage and get back in good weight control, you think about all the fad diets, right? They're usually based on some kind of a swing hard in the opposite direction. And there's all kinds of things behind it. Well, we can't eat any eggs, or we can't eat anything that is white or could be white. That's the 4-hour body plan. But, you know, or South Beach, where we got to eliminate carbs, or we're going to only eat carbs, or we can't have any meats, or we're only going to eat meats, or we're only going to do vegetables, or we're only going to whatever, right? It's at the end of the day, the calculation is still the same. If the amount of calories that you consume is more than the calories that you burn, you're going to maintain, if not gain weight. It's simple math, right? The question is, how do we find that balance? And I think in life it's kind of the same way too. Where do we find that balance? You know, we're not supposed to make any room for sin in our lives. But the other thing that we're not supposed to make room for in our lives is that guilt and shame over our sin. You know, the Bible tells us that when God forgives us of our sins, He remembers it no more. And that's not because God has Alzheimer's. God is not forgetful in that sense. In the sense that the scriptures are using that word remember, is talking about presence. It's talking about existence. You know, one way that we know this is when we look at the Hebrew prayers for the Messiah was for God to remember the Messiah, which would be to make the Messiah present, to make him real now. And so when God does not remember something, it means it doesn't exist anymore. It's not merely that God is covering up our sins and just kind of winking at us and pretending that it's not there. God has that power that when he says something, it's reality. You know, when he talks about creation, when Jesus says your sins are forgiven, then our sins are forgiven. And so it's hard sometimes for us, and this is why one of the reasons we call the devil the accuser, Satan the accuser, the brethren, because that's what he wants us to do, is to wallow in self-pity, to wallow in the misery of our past and the shame of our past. But our sins, the Bible tells us, our sins have been crucified with Christ. They've been nailed to the cross and left there. Jesus has dealt with those. And the Bible tells us also in 1 John 1 that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, that means wash, of all unrighteousness. All means all. And so for him to take that away and then for us to live wallowing in the past doesn't help him, because we're not living that victory. So here's a suggestion, something that's been very helpful to me, and I think it could be helpful to you as well, this practice. First of all, is to not let our past define us. You know, our past does not define us, but I will say this, our past most certainly does help shape who we are. It definitely does. The experiences that we've had, the good, the bad, and the ugly, those all make us part of who we are. But no one event makes us the whole person, right? It's we're all of our experiences. We're plus not just our experiences, but our talents, our gifts, our the way that God has purposed us, the way he has created us and designed us. All of these things together make up this human person that we are, right? And so we should learn from our past. And one of the tools that was given to me is called an examine. And I want to share with you just briefly how to do this for yourself, because I think it will benefit you. It definitely benefits me. And so this is basically what I do. Those of you who are familiar with athletics, coaches will, you know, you have film day. And the really good athletes will study film because they want to see how to improve their game or to study the opponent. And so I have a practice in this examine, and I treat it much like a coach would review game film. So when I go to bed at night and I've shut everything down, I try to you know, get off the phone and all this stuff before I go to bed. But when I'm laying there in bed, it becomes a time of prayer and meditation between me and God. And so I ask him, I said, how do we do today, God? And in that, I begin asking him to help me to review my day. And what I'm looking for in my day were the things that went well. What went well? What are the things that were, where were their successes? And so they may be successes in the things that I did, successes in the things that I said, the opportunities that I had and what I did with them. And so when I look over those are things to be thankful for. And maybe there was a lesson to be learned. What tactic did I use to solve that problem so I can remember the next time that problem comes up? Let's do that again. That worked. But then there's also those times where I had words that did not work out so well, where I had actions that were not so great, where I had opportunities to do good, but I didn't do them. I chose not to, or I avoided them, or I did nothing. And so for those times, I reflect on them as well. Was there a lesson that I could learn? Was there a trigger, something that I need to kind of plan for if that's going to happen? You know, think about one example of this. Maybe there's a situation at work or someone who really kind of gets under your skin, right? And so maybe we use this time to think, okay, game plan just a little bit. The next time I see this person, I'm going to make an effort to show extra kindness, or I know that they're going to test my patience, so I'm really going to be extra patient. I'm going to hold my tongue when I want to say something snarky. So when we have those opportunities to reflect on the things that didn't go so good, I also turn those into prayers for myself, that God would please help me to be aware of those opportunities when they come up so that I don't miss them and so that I don't choose the wrong thing. So it's a prayer for help. But then I've also learned by listening to some of the other good podcasts that are out there, like St. Dinfna's Playbook. You definitely should check it out. But I also learned when these situations come up to realize, you know what? You're not the only person, Mediocrities. You're not the only person that deals with this. And so now I've incorporated praying for all of those who struggle with the things that I'm struggling with. And so even though it's not like anybody else knows that I'm praying for them, but I know that I'm praying for them. And I hope that there are also people that are going through these same things that are also praying for me, praying for all who struggle. So yeah, that's a practice that's been very beneficial for me. I have I've gained great, I won't say great success, but it's really helped me to be mindful of it, to know the things that you know, the things that I'm doing well so that I can repeat that process, but then the things where I'm struggling to try to have a little strategy for how not to do the same thing again. And I think that's smart. But it also has deepened my prayer life because it's a conversation between me and God. And there's time where I just need to sit and shut up and listen. What is God trying to tell me? Why, you know, for example, you know, the past few days, it just seems like certain people have popped up in my life with some words that have all kind of pointed in one direction for me. And I believe it's because God is prompting me to think about a particular area. An opportunity for service in my life that I need to consider and pray about. So, you know, these are neat things that happen. And when you stop to pay attention to them, then you can appreciate what's going on. And God is working around us. He is with us all the time. We just need to slow our minds down and slow our eyes down long enough to listen and to pay attention. And when we do that, I think we're going to discover some really neat things. So for all the times where we have missed out, for the times where we have fallen short, let's pray. And let's pray not just for ourselves, but also for all those who struggle, and especially those who have no one to pray for them. Let's pray. Oh my God, I am sorry for all my sins with all my heart. In choosing to do wrong and failing to do good, I have sinned against you, whom I should love above all things. And I firmly intend, with the help of your grace, to do penance, to sin no more, and to avoid whatever leads me to sin. God, you are the Father of mercy, and we ask that you please bless those who are struggling with guilt, with shame, with regret over their past. Help them to seek the reconciliation that you offer, and to then live in your forgiveness, and to learn from their past, and to do their best never to repeat it again, and then to turn around and help other people that are struggling, and to continue to build your kingdom up in love and mercy and forgiveness. Now it's time for something old. You know, something old that I've been thinking about is putt-putt. And I hope that that hit my speakers just right, because I want you to think about that. Now, there is miniature golf. Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of miniature golf places all around this great world. And, you know, the basic premise is the same. There's a carpet. You hit a ball. You want to get it into the little hole. There's obstacles. Sometimes the obstacles are weird. But then there is putt-putt. Putt-putt Golfing Games is a particular brand of miniature golf that is it's a franchise. And I don't see as many of them as I did in the 70s and 80s. But small little secret here, I was once a professional putter. So putt-putt was something that was very special to me because I spent a lot of time as a teenager playing in the junior leagues, right? Playing as a junior putter. And putt-putt Golfing Games is a little bit different because there aren't windmills and sculptures and things like that. It's generally a green carpeted course with orange metal rails with, you know, there are obstacles, but they're all, you know, geometric shapes and things like that. It's not really exotic, but because you use those rails and because things are generally follow some patterns, then it is a little more set up for some regulation play. And so there were tournaments, and I was pretty good. And I actually still am pretty good, just so you know, if you want to come and hit some balls. But that was a lot of fun, and I miss putt-putt. I miss going to those tournaments. I miss playing on, you know, in league nights from the time I was a kid to later. It was a lot of fun. And I know that there are still national tournaments. I'm probably not good enough to be in those. But, they used to even be on ESPN. So, look it up. Just look up putt-putt championships. And I'm sure you can find some old ESPN tapes. I'm pretty sure also that... remember Cheap Seats? Did you ever watch Cheap Seats on ESPN? I think it came on the Deuce, or maybe on Classics. Yeah, ESPN Classic. Cheap Seats. So they always showed and kind of made fun of old shows, but one of the things I remember them making fun of was putt-putt. And I didn't really resent it because, we were kind of dorky, but, man, putt-putt's just a lot of fun. So if you don't have a putt-putt course near you, that's fine. Go play some miniature golf. It's summer. Go out and enjoy the summer, enjoy chasing balls around a course, and get weird with it. Have a lot of fun because, you know, it's miniature golf. It's not like it's brain surgery or anything. So thanks again for everybody. Thanks for your letters. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for your voicemails. Did I say letters? No one's mailing me letters. Letters. Oh, well. Yeah, send me some emails. I'd love to hear from you. Or if you have Anchor, there's that cool little button where you can send me a voice message. So please do that. So I'm still working on it. But thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.